This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
You're listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and this is Season 5, Episode 45, and we are 4 days away from the NHL trade deadline on Friday. That is 4 days that Chris Drury, general manager of the New York Rangers, has to fortify his roster and gear up for the, at this point, hopefully inevitable postseason. I'm recording this Sunday night, just 1 day removed from a pretty fun and eventful matchup against the Toronto Maple Leafs, in which the Rangers lost in a shootout. And we have plenty to talk about. We're going to talk about that game. We're going to talk about more drips and drabs and rumors for the trade deadline. Talk about why we haven't seen the Rangers make a move yet with just 4 days to go. Whether or not we will see a move before Friday. Does Chris Drury one-stop shop? Does he do a bunch of smaller moves around the league and more? We're going to cover it all on today's podcast. So I think let's start with the game last night. The Rangers fall to the Toronto Maple Leafs in the shootout in Toronto in a pretty exciting game. It was basically packed full of storylines going into the game. Both teams clearly felt it was a measuring stick for their clubs, as they could be potentially be at some point be a playoff series matchup between the two teams. I mean, if it stands today, if the Rangers maintain their spot at first in the Metropolitan and the Leafs maintain that third spot, it could potentially be at least a second round matchup between the two teams, just based on if the Leafs can get through the second place Bruins in the Atlantic and the Rangers can get through. I believe at this point in time, they would play the Red Wings. So they could get past the Red Wings. But like I said, measuring stick game for both teams. Igor versus Samsonov, who both goalies have had rough stints this season, but they both came to play in this game. And honestly, although at the end of the game, it seemed that it felt kind of back and forth, I do think the Leafs ultimately were the better team, and the fact that they won in the shootout, you got to credit the Rangers. I don't know if many teams can hang around like they do. And hell, when you need a goal and you pull your goaltender, the Rangers are one of the best teams in the league at getting that done. You know what I mean? They've done it a few times this year, just with the pulling the goalie, or with a few scant minutes left to play, or even less than 2 minutes, and just getting a goal when they need it. That's one of their they're just one of those teams that could be able to get it done time and time again, which is good, which is a skill, which shows their resilience. That being said, I thought that outside of a few players, it's once again ineptitude from the Kreider and Zibanejad line, failure to break the puck out of their own end. Barkley Gaudreau just flipping pucks all over the place, everywhere but out of the zone when he needs to clear it. He had a brutal game. Any other than Fox and Keandre Miller and Schneider, I thought Trouba, Lindgren, and Gustafsson had a pretty rough game on the back end, just missing assignments and slow to get in position and just letting players get behind them. And the Leafs are a high-powered offense team. We know this. They like to do things off the rush and with pretty accurate passing. And the Rangers just seem to really get dissected by those teams. They're just weak against the rush. They collapse too much. They concede their own blue line too easily. They're more content to just be under siege and try to counterattack. And it just, you look at their standings and just the amount of games they've won against some good teams, and they've played a lot of pretty good tight games this year, but it just seems like more often than not, they're just content to let Igor kind of bail them out. I mean, it's been this way since Henrik Lundqvist, of course. But you also have to ask, it's like, well, do they have a second gear that they're saving? Or is this just who they are, a talented, albeit flawed team that has superb goaltending and really timely goal scoring? Because right now, other than their penalty kill, which is great, their power play isn't all that potent, and yet they're still finding a way to win games and stay in games and get points. So, I mean, you get, like, again, the no quit in New York thing. For there not to be quitting your team, you have to be under dire circumstances, if that makes any sense, right? Because if you steamroll a team, they're not saying, oh, that team has no quit. They're saying, wow, that team is a monster, and they just enact their will on everyone. But if you keep getting the shit kicked out of you, and yet you don't give up, and you just scrap and claw and are able to just keep it close, that's where the no quit moniker comes in. So, again, as great as the whole no quit New York thing was, I would like to see this team kind of take the bull by the horns, the proverbial bull by the horns, a little bit more often down the stretch here. They have some really important matchups coming up against basically measuring stick teams, like we had spoken about. You know, Toronto is a team like that for them. The Florida Panthers, considered the best team in the East, they play at home tomorrow, or tonight if you're listening to this. So that's an important matchup for them. Then later this week, they're going to, well, you know, I guess the Devils are pretty much well out of it now, but they'll be looking for their revenge. They play the Hurricanes next Tuesday. They play the Lightning next Thursday. You know, so you have some pretty strong, some of the strongest teams in the East coming up on your schedule. And they have to be ready because everyone's trying to gear up at this time. I mean, now the caveat is, what will this team look like? Who will be added to this team? Who, well, potentially who will be subtracted from this team? And we'll talk about that in a second. But you just have to hope that Chris Drury can see what this team's shortcomings are and not just make needless moves. You know, I think you understand this team needs a player who's willing. I think, I have mush mouth because there's so much that ails this team. Let's do it top to bottom. First of all, the lack of even strength goal scoring from Mika Zibanejad is a problem. He's your number one center. You need that line and him specifically to chip in offense. And the fact that he has been inept this year and just not shooting the puck, I've liked his effort defensively. I think he's been attentive to his details defensively, which is good. I know he cares and I know he's trying, but he's just not shooting the puck nearly enough this year. He doesn't trust his shot. He's not playing on instinct and feel. He's just trying to overthink everything. And he's just not playing a direct game. You know, his best games in the past have been when he uses his speed and his hands and his reach and his size to basically attack off the rush and be assertive. Who cares if you put it on net and it's an easy save for the goaltender? Who cares? Just keep doing that over and over and over again. Maybe your line mate, Chris Kreider, can crash to the net and get a rebound. Just anytime you get a chance, put it on net. But it's just always trying to fake, take it to the outside, try to make a cross-ice pass, gets picked off, or he tries to rim around to someone on the far end to get set up, and it gets easily picked off, and the other team starts their breakout going the other way. And it's just not good enough. It's unacceptable. So obviously Chris Drury is looking for a winger to unlock that pairing, because it seems that even though he said that all of his lines are subject to change if he feels necessary, you just know he does not want to remove those two from each other. He keeps them together. So they need to find someone who can basically score goals on that line, because the two of them don't seem to want to do it right now. So that's one cause of concern for Chris Drury that he probably is doing his best to address as I am speaking right now. Secondly, the third line. We've seen since taking Kakpo off the third line and putting them up with Kreider and Zibanejad, trying to get something going there, not only is that line not scoring, but now the third line, which was previously scoring with Kakko, Cooley, and Johnny Brodzinski, yeah, now you have two lines that aren't scoring. So there's another problem. When Kakko is on that line, I think he plays, well, I think it's twofold. I think one, he plays more assertively when he kind of gets to drive the bus on that third line and not feel like he has to defer to his elder, you know, statesman on the team. And two, I just think the play of Kreider and Zibanejad drag Kakko down when he's on that line, because those two are just kind of lost right now. So again, I think it's twofold. So you want I will also say that as nice of a story as Johnny Brodzinski has been, he might be a little overmatched on the third line. Is he a third line player in the NHL? Probably not. He's probably a fourth line speedy player with a good shot. So obviously he's looking for a third line center for that spot to potentially push Brodzinski down, right? So that's another cause of upgrade. As far as the Rangers fourth line goes, I can't listen. Barclay Goodrow has been an absolute abject mess this season. This needs to be his last season on this team. Playoff warrior, good in the playoffs, you know, heart and soul. I get it, but it's unacceptable. He's got road miles on him, and it's been brutal for him this year. So, but again, they acquired him for all that and gave him all that money. They're not getting rid of him in season. So he's not going anywhere. That being said, now with the addition of Matt Rempe to the fourth line and Adam Edstrom, it's clear that Laviolette, it does not have the trust to just roll those lines like he did with Pitlick and Bonino. And rightly or wrongly, maybe he's right. Maybe they would get overexposed, but I would argue it's probably because Barclay Goodrow drives that line down. I think what we've seen from Adam Edstrom in short spurts, I think he is worthy of staying on the fourth line. Rempe, who knows? Obviously, he's a lightning rod. And again, that's another thing we're going to talk about. And when he's out there, things happen. But can he just play consistent, solid fourth line minutes at the NHL level at this point in time? It still remains to be seen because the trust is clearly not there from the coaching staff. But so you have to imagine if he's able to acquire a third line center to push Johnny Brodzinski down to the fourth line, which would then probably push both Rempe and Edstrom off if there's some more adds for the bottom six. Now he would probably feel more content to roll lines and it would slot players in a more comfortable position. Hopefully Brodzinski would score more when going against fourth line competition. But I mean, you know, a team like the Florida Panthers, their fourth line chips in, you know what I mean? Whereas I think the Rangers, it's just kind of survived the shift, but like that Lockwood, Stenlund, and Lomberg fourth line is an absolute bear to play against, and they can chip in offense and gritty offense as it was. So, yeah. But the Rangers have a litany of things they need to work on. Obviously, their D is not going to be touched. There is potential, I would imagine, for Chris Drury to go out and get a seventh defenseman who is more, if someone goes down, who is a little bit more well-equipped for heavy playoff hockey, like it's just a bigger body who is pretty unremarkable, but hopefully can, you know, doesn't handle the puck like a grenade and can at least clear his own crease and help his team survive shifts if that's what it gets to. Because, you know, you understand they're probably not comfortable with Zach Jones slotting in if, God forbid, one of their defensemen went down. You know what I mean? They have other options, I guess. If, let's say, and God forbid, I feel terrible even to say this, but if something were to happen to Adam Fox, they're probably comfortable with Gustafson than quarterback in the power play, like he did early in the season when it had a lot of success when Fox was out with his hip injury. So, but yeah, I think that's the route. Chris Drury is going to make a move for a seventh defenseman, it's probably in that mold. You know what I mean? So, but which brings me to our next point is that there's been so much talk about, well, what team is the Rangers going to do this business with? Are they going to one-stop shop? Are they going to go scout multiple teams and make multiple moves? We know that the GM of the Anaheim Ducks, Pat Verbeek, was in the building the other night to watch the Rangers in Columbus when his team was still on the West Coast. So clearly he's scouting the Rangers intently, which lets you know that those two teams are seriously talking and the Rangers are probably offering up a roster player. And you put two and two together. Unfortunately, it seems like there's a strong possibility that Kaapo Kakko is that player. I think this is a mistake. I think this would be a horrible move. I mean, the rumored package right now is Henrik and Vetrano with retention for Kaapo Kakko and a pick. If that pick is a first, if you give up Kaapo Kakko and a first for those two, even with retention, I'm going to lose my mind. because it's just like, it's one of the things where you think you're doing the right thing to put yourself over the top and to try to alleviate future contract woes. But then you're just looking for a player like Kaapo Kakko. They need more players who are good defensively. I understand you need goal scoring. I get it. But, you know, you're giving up on this guy so early. And even if he is what he is, even if he becomes a 40-point extremely good or is a 40-point extremely good defensive winger in the NHL, every team needs that, especially come playoff time. It's just would be short-sighted. You're getting older for two guys that probably won't be with your team. You know what I mean? It's just, I understand you need to go for it, but you need to be smart. But again, this is rumor and speculation. I think Frank Cervarelli said something of the effect that he was just wondering if you'd have to wonder if it is Kaapo Kakko, unless it's someone else, unless it's Edstrom or a defenseman or something, I don't know. But he seems to be the odd one out, and it stinks, because honestly, you look at the Rangers' record with him in the lineup, and it's pretty good. And you look at their record without him in the lineup, and it's pretty piss poor. So his defensive game is a big part of that. And his ability to turn, even though he himself is pretty anemic to offense, although he's had his spurts, especially on the third line, he's a guy who's still putting it together. You look at Lafreniere is finally putting the pieces together. You know, Lafreniere, I think, finally has 8 points in his last 7 games or something like that, or 7 points in his last 8 games, whatever, a few goals, a few assists. And it looks like he's breaking out. You know, Kaapo Kakko, I don't know if he'll ever be the player that Lafreniere is, at least prolifically offensively, but you just see the confidence and his two-way game is so good. You just need, honestly, the Florida Panthers is full of players like that. Players like Lindell and Louis DeRinan and, you know, even their fourth line and Barkov, it's like their players are good two-way players on top of being dangerous offensively. So, and it would just be taking two steps back to try to take one step forward in my mind. And hopefully Chris Drury can see that. But again, we've seen him give up too early on some other players in the Rangers system and Pavel Buchnevich. And we kind of see how that ended up working out for him. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Well, it wouldn't be a New York Rangers podcast without talking about Rempomania, which is still running wild, brother. In that game, Hockey Night in Canada, Rangers Leafs, the storyline going into it is, will Rempe and Reeves drop the gloves? And they asked Reeves before if it was going to happen, and he had mentioned, oh, you know, you never know, but it's always a possibility. I don't have the, he said something like, I don't have the script or anything, but anything can happen. You see them kind of talking at warmups, but not really talking to each other too much. At one point, they're on the ice early in the game, and Reeves basically asks Rempe if he wants it. He wants to go for it. Rempe kind of shrugs him off, so clearly he's been told to not fight unless he absolutely has to. In the course of the game, he throws a big hit on the newest Maple Leaf, Ilya Lyubushkin, defenseman, and just kind of blows him up. And I'm going to say this now, Rangers fans, this was charging. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. I have eyes. You know, Rempe takes some strides. He kind of jumps into it and boards him. Again, you know, Lyubushkin gets knocked out of the game, unfortunately. And Rempe's he feels his job is to play on the edge. And maybe it is, because that's where he's had the most success so far. But, you know, nothing called on the play, and I don't think any supplemental discipline. But, yeah, it's charging. But whatever. I mean, Reeves takes it as, you know, Rempe taking a run at one of his guys. So he says, all right, we're going. Rempe obliges. Gloves come off. Ding, ding, ding. Everyone is alight with, oh, here we go, Reeves and Rempe. And it was a good fight. Coming into this fight, especially coming off the Olivier loss in Columbus, there was a lot of former NHL fighters and, you know, enforcers saying he needs to learn to use his reach. He needs to learn to protect himself better. I'd like to teach him a thing or two just to help, you know, prolong his career and protect himself. You know, what's the point of having your reach if you're, you know, they respect the fact that Rempe's a kid who gets in there and he likes to chuck him with wild, reckless abandon, but you have to protect yourself. John Scott said he had kind of reached out to him privately and just offered some tips. And he said, you know, just use your reach. And he mentioned that in the kind of fascinating stuff, honestly, it's a side of the game that doesn't get talked about a lot, or at least in, you know, most modern hockey platforms. But he mentions the Olivier fight. He's like, he grabs Olivier by almost like the scruff of his jersey over his shoulder pads, like almost like the collar, or, and to kind of bring him in close. And Olivier says, well, jackpot, you know, this whole thing is this guy has such a big reach. How am I going to do that? And by doing that, you're inviting him in to just free shots, a free feed from in close where you can't use your reach. It almost nullifies your reach. So he was saying, you got to grab, if you're a tall guy, you got to grab the front of his jersey right above the, you know, the collar where the NHL logo is, to kind of keep your fist on his, just kind of under his Adam's apple, honestly. And just as hard as you can, as he goes in, you're going to try to just hold it against his throat and his Adam's apple. Because if he tries to get in on you, it gets uncomfortable. You feel his fist driving into you. So that makes you back off. And now he doesn't have the reach to hit you. And Rempe, who's got, you know, Matt Martin said, might have a bigger wingspan than Chara. He can make that distance with his freakishly long reach. So there you go. So he fares much better in this fight than he did against Olivier. Clearly took pointers. I think even after the fight and after the game, John Scott was like posted online that, you know, Rempe was clearly had made adjustments and it showed, and he was like so stoked for the kid and that this kid's great. You know, obviously that whole side of hockey fandom and hockey Twitter, whatever you want to say, is all over, just like, he's taking on all comers. He'll fight whoever. Great attitude. Great kid. Doesn't shy away from when asked to answer the bell. Didn't go out looking for it. Wasn't a stage thing. He threw a hit. Knew he had to answer for it because he's trying to do what he has to do. And it was a little bit more organic, and off they went. And they had a good fight. So, you know, obviously the other side of that is there's a lot of people who worry about his long-term health in the fact that he's literally been in the NHL 2 to 3 weeks. And he's fought how many times now? He fought, let's see, you know, fought Matt Martin his first game, fought Nick DeLaurier, fought Olivier, fought now Ryan Reeves. So he's got 4 fights in, what, 6 games? You know, he was ejected from the New Jersey game for that huge hit on Nathan Bastion. And he played in the Dallas game, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he's got like 7 games, and he's already got like 4 fights. You know what I mean? And, you know, 1 huge hit leading to a game misconduct, although it didn't get additional. So, yeah, he's making the most of his opportunity here. And the NHL, he's all over social media. Like, literally every NHL pundit loves talking about it. Stories abound about him, you know. And honestly, they say mostly Greg Wyshynski wrote a pretty cool, basically, you know, personal piece on Rempe and just the fact that he's kind of like a goofy, bro-y kid who he likes to play his guitar and he likes sci-fi sci-fi movies. And he's just, yeah, he's just, honestly, he's a kid. He's 22 years old. He was blessed with crazy height and length and reach, and there's that has challenges, especially, you know, talking to his former WHL coach from the, I think it was, he was part of the Portland Winterhawks, right? But just that Was it Portland? I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. But, you know, basically that because he's so big, it's like it's been an adjustment for him to learn because, you know, because of his height, when he hits players this the same way other people hit players, it ends up hurting because naturally his elbows are right where they're instead of being elbow to elbow with somebody, he's elbow to head with somebody because he's literally that tall. So it there's challenges about it. And you have to how do you play physical when you are naturally kind of in line with everyone's head? It's tough. You know what I mean? So but man, it's just he's been a lightning rod for this team. But again, to my earlier point, he's probably not going to be here. He'll probably be assigned back to Hartford after the trade deadline, which might be for the best. You want to see him develop his other skills and playing as little as he's, even though he's been a lightning rod for the team for the moment, playing as little as he has is probably not going to do his personal development any good. It's good he got a taste and he's trying to make the most of it. You go down, you work on the other elements of your game. Cause I have liked what he's done in limited, you know, limited minutes. He's got a goal and an assist. You know, one of which is a game winner. And just by doing the good things, going to the net and Adam Edstrom, his partner, the two of them together have actually seemed pretty effective in limited minutes. But, you know, those two prior going back to Hartford for their playoff push as the Rangers look to upgrade the fourth line. But I've liked Edstrom. I mean, he should be a full-time staple next year here, you know, in the bottom six. So, but hopefully there'll be other graduates, Brett Berard, who's lighting up the AHL right now, you know, in his first full season. But if I believe it might have been Riot Whitney on Spittin' Chicklets said, can you imagine if that the Rangers are down in whatever playoff series they're in and then they call him up as a spark? You know, you can imagine the Garden going crazy for him. So you have to wonder if maybe he's a player Pat Verbeek asks about. I mean, he's say what you will about his overall hockey skill, but he changes. Teams are always looking for people that can change the temperature on a game or a situation. And he is that in a nutshell. You drop him into a game and for better or for worse, one way or another, the whole vibe of that game changes in an instant. So, and that's a skill not a lot of players in the NHL have. Obviously, superstar players have it with their overall skill and talent, scoring ability. But unless you're that level of player, not many can change the overall course of a game like he can. In other Rangers-related news, the team announced that they have extended Jonathan Quick. Well, I guess, you know, they've signed him to an additional one-year contract extension. Reported annual AAV is 1.275. And I, of all people, I've said this all season on this podcast about the amount of crow I've eaten because I thought this signing him was the worst move this team could make. I thought he was washed. I thought he was cooked, just like everyone else. And I thought this was going to be an abject disaster. But I doubted Benoit Allaire, the goalie whisperer. And now the egg is entirely on my face because Jonathan Quick has been a revelation for this team. One of the better feel-good stories in the NHL this season, just based on his play. And just because usually the hometown boy returning to the New York Rangers goes horribly. We've seen it before. Kevin Shattenkirk just never works out good. You know what I mean? But Jonathan Quick is kind of has new life here. You know what I mean? He's played tremendously. He's adjusted his style to compensate for his age and the fact that he's just not going to be able to make the reads as and react as fast and be as explosive as he once was. But you can still see how well-conditioned he is and how what good of a shape he keeps himself in. He still has that explosive power when he's on his in his butterfly from post to post and just how strong the legs are, you know, just being able to kick it out and make some pretty 10-bell saves. And he had a hell of a save in the game in Columbus, even though it was a losing effort, down low on the goal line with his, you know, just jutting that leg out like a rocket leg. So, yeah, he deserves it. And honestly, the team loves him. Everyone, most of the Rangers retweeted the Rangers Instagram story about him getting extended. They clearly love him. And he's just, yeah, it's just a great story. And it's nice to see it work out once for the Rangers having it. Someone who grew up loving their team coming home to play for their hometown team even earlier in their career and it being a great fit and him feeling comfortable and happy and successful. And yeah, that's great for all parties involved. And Quick really earned it this year. And most importantly, he made me look like a big fucking idiot and eat all the crow in the world. And I've never been happier to eat a big plate of crow like the one that's right in front of my face. And I guess the final thing I want to talk about, which is a pretty crazy saga to follow right now, is Evgeny Kuznetsov was from the Washington Capitals was cleared by the NHL and the NHLPA player assistance program for, you know, it wasn't disclosed why he was in there. I mean, some photos surfaced a few years ago of him with some illicit substances. You don't know if this recent one was mental health related or, but it's clear that his relationship with the team has been souring for a while. An hour or two after announced that he was cleared by the program, it was announced by the Washington Capitals that he was on waivers for the purpose of reassignment to the AHL. And then Brian McClellan, the GM of the Washington Capitals, was going to address the media. He basically comes out and says that Evgeny Kuznetsov and the team, you know, he was placed on waivers for express purpose of assignment to the AHL, and that after speaking to, well, he said, he basically said, I spoke to Evgeny and his agent, and basically it was, I guess, mutually confirmed that the best place of action or course of action would be a change of scenery. Now, it's kind of hard to tell if this was his idea, this, or this is something Evgeny's wanted for a while, or if this is the team saying, enough, like, we're obviously happy you were able to go through the player assistance program, but it's just, we need to move on, and just your play has not been where it leading up to this has not been where it needs to be. You know, I'm curious if they're not going to see what he coming out of the of this player assistance program, how he performs or what type of headspace he's in. That kind of leads me to believe that maybe it was the player who intimated, like, look, you know, this is I just think for me, I just need to move on, you know, too much history or whatever, or hard feelings or what, you know, whatever. So, but it's very interesting because Kuznetsov has been assigned to the AHL, and he's now, I think he is literally the most expensive player to ever be assigned to the AHL, which is pretty crazy, or to be in the AHL. And it's just the way it's gone down the last few years in Washington with him and the team has been pretty nuts. Cause I mean, he was arguably their best player during their Stanley Cup win in 2018. You know what I mean? He was incredible that whole run, and just the fluid skating and the skill. So to see the fall off's been pretty wild. I mean, his underlying numbers have not been good. Yeah, they've been abysmal, in fact, for the past two seasons. And it's hard to know, is that a function of aging player declining, interest in hockey waning, just outside pressures? You just don't know. So, and it's not nice to speculate, but yeah, it's just kind of crazy to see how it's gone down. Does he remain in North America? Does he try to get a contract with another NHL team? Where does it go from here? Does the team bring him back, buy him out? Who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, it's just sad to see. It'll be interesting to see if he does return to Russia or just goes to some, you know, just to find his change of scenery anywhere where he can revitalize his career, or maybe this is it. I don't know. It's just a very, you know, very sad and fascinating situation for the player and the team. And I guess we'll stay tuned to see how it all plays out. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this one. On Thursday, we will have our final episode before the NHL trade deadline, which is Friday. It'll be fascinating to see if Chris Drury makes a move between now and then. Knowing him and knowing this podcast, I'm going to record that podcast and he's not going to have done anything, and it's going to come out Thursday morning, and then something's going to happen, and then I'm going to have to wait until next week to talk about it. But all we can do is hope that Chris Drury has figured out just what this team needs, and please, for the love of God, do not give up on Kaapo Kakko yet. That's all I ask. Please, please, please.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod
And please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.